This is the Brunswick High Pirates Coaches Show with head coach Sean Pender on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Brought to you by Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, Southern Hardware, Peachtree Pest Control, Awesome Nissan, and by Bruce Kennedy Tire. And now, here is your host, Kit Branch.
Welcome to the Brunswick High Coaches Show with head coach Sean Pender on the Bishop Media Sports Network. I'm Kip Branch. This segment of the Pirate Show is sponsored by Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, Southern Hardware, Peachtree Pest Control, Awesome Nissan, and Bruce Kennedy Tire. And now joining us, the head coach of the Brunswick High Pirates, Coach Sean Pender. How you doing, Coach?
I'm doing good, Kip. How about you?
I'm doing good. Watching this blurry film that Effingham sent us.
Yes.
Golly, it'll give you a headache. I feel like I need some reading glasses just to watch it.
Yeah, it's out of focus.
Coach, we go to Richmond Hill last week, and it was a nightmare. I mean, I don't know any other way to describe it. We started out great, 15 plays, 80-yard touchdown drive, got a stop, and then after that, it just seemed like the bottom fell out.
Yeah, I mean, I keep shooting myself in the foot for what happened. We drove down the field. We scored a touchdown. We had the momentum. Defense came out, three plays and out. We punted, they punted. We had the ball in great field position on their side of the 50, and then we went three and out, and then we decided to go for it on fourth down, and two of our players didn't get the fake punt check that we checked to, and they just missed their assignment, and you can't do that. And unfortunately, the assignment was missed. They were there to make the play. But hindsight, I'm thinking now I shouldn't have did the fake punt. I should have punted it down and pinned them deep because we allowed them to switch field position on us by doing that. And then they had a trick play. They ran it to perfection, got down in our red zone and ended up punching in. And they changed the momentum on us. And then, a series or two later, we throw a pick six. And then we drive down again and we stall out, and next thing you know, they hit us with a quick hitting inside run, and we miss the tackle, and they go 88 yards, and it was just like the bottom fell out right then.
Coach, you're sitting here, and I don't want to say second guess, but you kind of are second guessing yourself. So are you telling me that your gut told you that, well, let's go for this team, they're vulnerable right here, you went for the fake punt, your gut said we can get them right here and change the whole tide of football game, yeah. And it didn't work?
Yeah, I knew we could get them. We set it up even in the JV game, and then we've been setting up this fake punt throughout the year, and we were going to use it in the first region game. And it was a good opportunity to do it. It was right there early in the game. They gave us the formation that we knew we had, and I was like, shoot, we go for it right now. And then it could be, because if we did make the blocks on the fake punt, we are in a foot race to the end zone. I mean, we could easily score a 44-yard touchdown run.
Right.
But, instead, we miss an assignment.
Yeah.
And when we miss the assignment, but see, in playing call, that my second guessing is our defense played very well that first drive. They had the momentum. Defense was good. If we would have punted it down there and pinned them, maybe inside the 20, inside the 10, you're not going to sit there and do a reverse pass back to the quarterback when you're backed up in your own shadow of your own goal line. So, I second guess that aspect of it. And they got a good kicking game, a way they can change the field position on you. And if you go back and you look, and again, this is second guessing. You go back and you look throughout the year, the teams that we played with really good kickers been able to pin us deep, and we would move the football, but we haven't been finishing the drives like we needed to. So we want to have those short fields, and we want to keep the field position in our favor. And I took a gamble. The gamble failed, and and then it turned the tide on us a little bit.
Coach, they had a guy at defensive end, a number 92. I don't even know his name, but I saw on social media this week where he was named the Coastal Empire Player of the Week last week in the contest against Brunswick, and he really wreaked havoc on us.
All night long, he wreaked havoc on us. He played fantastic. That's what you want to see a football player play like. I wish I had him on our team, to be honest with you. He got after it. He never took a playoff. he played a great football game, and you know, maybe not athletic ability wise is the best player that we played, but he's the best football player that we played all year as far as total the total package. He got every bit of. I'm proud for that kid. I hate the fact that we lost, and I hate that he did it to us.
Yeah.
But that kid played a very good football game, and he whipped our tail all night long.
Coach, that was the reason for that question. I wanted to bring up an aspect of football that's often overlooked, and we've talked about many, many times, and that's the aspect of mental toughness. A lot of kids have equal talent, but the mental side of football is so much more important than the physical side in a lot of cases. And I think that's kind of what happened last week. We got down a little bit and just the mental side kicked in, and then things spiraled out of control.
I agree. You know, we're not a very mentally tough football team, and we know that. We've addressed that, and we've been doing things, working on trying to get mentally tough, and it's just it seems like it gets harder and harder, I guess, to make kids tougher nowadays, because you just got simply you got stuff that happens at home or whatever where, you know, they're coddled too much, I think. And you know, we're trying to grow these young men into men, and doing that, I think toughness is something that is vital for our kids to have. And we talk about that mental toughness aspect. I think it's something that our kids are going to need, not just in the game of football, but in life. I mean, life's going to knock you down. How do you act, and how do you respond when that happens? You know, you can't always go crying to somebody else and they fix it. You have to figure out ways to overcome that adversity and fix it. And that's what we're trying to get accomplished here.
This is the Brunswick High Coaches Show with Head Coach Sean Pender on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Coach, correct me if I'm wrong. When you started playing football at Valdosta State, you had an injury where you ended up missing a significant part of a football season. Then you just, you know, you had to suck it up. You had to get yourself back mentally prepared to play. And that made the difference later on in your career. Talk a little bit about the adversity sometimes football players have to go through.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's defined my career, to be honest with you. You know, in 1994, they just moved me out to the wide receiver spot, the X spot, matter of fact. And I was having a phenomenal practice. You know, I had a good spring. I was having a good summer. Caught a quick screen, ran down the sideline, and blew out my hamstring. And when I did that, they gave me a medical redshirt where I had to sit out that year. And in doing so, of course, other players developed in that area. And I just learned what I could learn. I started to watch a lot more film, got to learn how to study. And I was trying to figure out ways to make myself better while I was injured. And I really learned then how to become a student of the game. And that was in 1994. And in 1995, when I got back healthy, in the spring, they moved me to another position. They moved me from the wide out X to the H-back. And in the H-back, you know, I wasn't excited about being there because, one, I was 150 pounds or so at the time. And then you're playing in the inside slot receiver. And this is where before it got popular to have smaller guys in the slot. Back then, the smaller guys, believe it or not, were on the outside, and now they have the taller guys on the outside and the smaller guys in the slot. I think I'm part of that revolution, you know, be honest with you.
Okay.
But they moved me in there, and I found ways to beat linebackers that, you know, I weighed 150, they weighed 240 pounds, and I knew I didn't want to get hit by them, so I figured out how to get open in zones and versus man coverage by watching film and studying. And I ended up leading the all of NCAA in receptions that year and be getting All-American status and all that. So it worked out better for me. But, yeah, you talking about mentally tough, you had to be mentally tough. And, heck, even after that year's over, Coach, they recruited a JUCO 6'2" guy to put in my same spot, had him room with me, and then I had to teach him what to do to take over my job. And you're talking about trying to be mentally tough, you had to do that too. But he didn't win the job. I still won it.
But the main point I'm trying to make is, through a little bit of adversity, you discovered a passion for kind of learning the game, and it eventually led to you being a coach. And here you are, 20-odd years later, you're head football coach at Brunswick High. So things happen. how you handle it and how you deal with it says a lot about your character.
Oh, for sure. You know, and yeah, it did it. I learned to really have an appreciation for the game when I couldn't play it when I was on the sidelines. And I learned how to, you know, study and learned that it was more about just taking a football and running it into the end zone.
More to come on the Pirates Coaches Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Right now, these words from our sponsors.
In life and in sports, you need a winning strategy to be successful. Hi, I'm Dr. Denny Carter. At Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, our strategy is to treat orthopedic injuries safely and effectively so you can return to your activities quickly. Find us on the field or in the neighborhood with convenient locations in Brunswick, St. Mary's, and St. Simon's Island. We offer same-day emergency appointments and the resources of Southeast Georgia Health System. Call 1-855-ASK-SGHS. That's 855-275-7447 or visit sghs.org.
Ouch, Charlie, that really hurts. Hey, listen, don't you like that jingle? Anyways, we're doing this till the end of the month. We're going to give you $3,000 more than Kelley Blue Book. That's right, $3,000 more than Kelley Blue Book. Come check us out. We are selling used cars as fast as we get them in. So we're going to give you top dollar for your trade at Awesome Nissan in Brunswick. Check us out. Awesome Old Town. Wasn't that a beautiful jingle? Hey, bring your car down $3,000 more than Kelley Blue Book.
Awesome Nissan Facebook. Also, give us a call. Our sales staff is waiting, 912-264-3825.
Plus tax and title, down payment with approved credit, all deals subject to final approval of dealer principal.
Welcome back to the Brunswick High Coaches Show with Head Coach Sean Pender on the Bishop Media Sports Network. I'm Kip Branch. This segment is brought to you by Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery and by Southern Hardware Coach. We did do some good things. I know the score was lopsided, but we did do some good things on offense. We threw the ball decent at times. We ran the ball decent. We had over 400 yards of offense in the football game. We just didn't put any points on the scoreboard, and that's something that really eats at Sean Pender to produce but not cash in.
Oh, yeah. That's, again, something that we've been harping on the past 2 years is finishing these drives and getting better and having a nose for that end zone. We got to be able to create and make big plays. And again, when you're moving the ball down the field, but yet you're only getting a little bit of yards at a time, at the end, it's like the defenses that we're playing are like this bend don't break defense. And we're actually making the mistakes over a course of plays to end our drives, and we have to be able to finish those drives.
Our two scoring drives Friday night were both 15-play drives.
Yep. Boom.
And we just ran.
Over 80 yards. 80 yards.
Had a lot of snaps, and, eventually that's going to wear some teams down, and we're going to be able to capitalize on that kind of stuff. Because defensively, things kind of got out of control for us.
It did. We got beat on several big plays. They threw a couple deep balls where they out jumped us for the ball for a touchdown, and just actually went after the ball more aggressively than we did, and it hurt us. And then of course they had the long quarterback throwback play, and then of course the long run. That's four explosive plays that they had on us that resulted in touchdowns.
Did you see, Richmond Hills have been a team, they scored some big plays against Camden, but they kind of have been a big play team this whole football season.
Yeah, their quarterback, when he wasn't in, they struggled making those big plays because, when 18 was that quarterback, then he wasn't the one catching the football, and he made some big catches on us. And then, of course, number 12, he did a good job throwing the ball. And, then they had the one big run that number 4 made, the 88-yard touchdown.
Ooh, that was a dagger. That, to me, that was kind of like the big play of the football game. We were still in that football game. And then we had drove down. It was 21-7. We were driving down. We went for it on fourth down and didn't get it. And then they, one play, kind of changed the whole complexion of the football game.
Yeah, it did, unfortunately.
Coach, enough about Richmond Hill. We know what happened up there. We've got Effingham County coming in here Friday night. And I want to spend some time, rest of the program, talking about them. you know, they beat us last year pretty bad. And I'm not going to lie to you, I was a little disappointed by them. I felt like they tried to pile it on us up there last year. And if there's any way we can turn that tide on them, I want to win, of course, but if there's any way we can rub their nose in it, I would love to do that. I know you're not that kind of person, though, but I am.
We're looking to play four good quarters of football, and we need to come out on this game with a victory. We know that, and we need to put four good quarters of football, regardless of what that score says. We're going to play four good quarters of football. That's what we're going for. That's what we're talking to our kids about. Is getting after it from the beginning of the game until the end of the buzzer, and you know what the score is what the score is.
You're listening to the Pirates Coaches Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Coach, Monday probably was not a good day of practice for Brunswick. I know it was kind of rainy, and we've had a lot of rain this week. But when I was a player, I used to dread these practices after we played bad because you knew what was coming in practice that week. Talk about the week of practice so far.
Well, Monday and Tuesday was rough. That's no joke. We got after it pretty hard. You know, we weren't satisfied with anything that was going on the field. We were pushing. And again, this goes back to that toughness that we're talking about. We got to become a little tougher than what we are. But it was hard, and not just on the field hard, but off the field hard too, because something that we talked about, we talked about it off the air, and you had that article, you know, that you wrote in the paper, that is talking about, you know, community support. And it's huge when these kids got to go home and listen to some negativity stuff from people who think they know what they're talking about, but really don't. If they looked into the program and they saw what was going on, they would know what the deal is. And we had a bad game, but you know, you're letting people try to define you by that. And typically, honestly, I mean, that's just a character trait of a losing mentality. You got someone who hasn't been successful themselves or whatever the deal is or whatever they're into. They just want to keep holding somebody else down and try to build them up. And that's just a mentality that's got to change. Our kids are very capable of doing well. We are going to do well. And it just takes a little time to get there. But when you do have total support of the community and you have the buy-in to the program, when the kids go home and they see that everyone's drinking the same Kool-Aid, the response will be positive.
Coach, yeah, I was broadcasting the game last Friday. I saw some disappointing things from the stands, you know, people coming down yelling at the kids and things like that, and very, very disappointed by that. And I just don't know where some of that negativity comes from. It's draining on people. It's draining on families. It's draining on programs. I mean, yeah, we're 3-4, but we still got a lot to play for this football season, and I just don't get the mentality of people that just want to try to tear people down. I don't get it.
No, it's unfortunately it happens, and when you win, it solves everything. You just got to keep pushing, got to keep winning, and if the team will stay together and stick together and understand what we're doing is the right things, it will turn. You know, it's just you can't listen to the ones that don't know what they're talking about. You got to listen to the ones that do. And as players, sometimes it gets a little misunderstood because you got your coaches saying one thing and you might have a sibling or a parent or a friend of that you're really close to, you know, outside saying something different, and you want to believe what that person is. And that person might be trying to be sincere to them and what they're saying. It's just, you know, when you don't know what you're talking about, sometimes the ignorance shows. And unfortunately, sometimes, you know, the players get caught in between and that gets them confused and it gets them upset. And then you're not performing to your best capabilities.
We will be right back on the Brunswick High Coaches Show with Head Coach Sean Pender on the Bishop Media Sports Network.
If you need it, Southern Hardware has it. From mowers to trailers to case knives, you will find it all at Southern Hardware. Locally owned and operated since 1987. Right now, you will find the lowest prices around on zero-turn mowers and lawn equipment packages. If you want it, chances are Southern Hardware has it. Southern Hardware, located right off exit 29 in Brunswick, or check them out at southernhardwareinc.com. 912-267-7992.
When uninvited guests show up on your property, call Peachtree Pest Control's wildlife team to kindly escort them away. Peachtree Pest Control's experienced wildlife team can remove anything from rats to coyotes, raccoons to bats, foxes to possums, and Peachtree Pest Control will remove your unwanted guests humanely and clean up any mess your new friend may have caused. Online at peachtreepest.com or 912-265-9700.
Bruce Kennedy Tire is your hometown destination for tires. Michelin, Goodyear, and all the brands you trust. But don't let the name fool you. Bruce Kennedy Tire, located at 2928 Norwood Street, does more than just tires. Brakes, alignments, repair work, and more than I can mention. Bruce Kennedy is locally owned and operated, so you get the best service in Glynn County. So give Bruce a call at 912-264-6578. Bruce Kennedy Tire, a name you can trust.
Welcome back to the Brunswick High Coaches Show with Head Coach Sean Pender on the Bishop Media Sports Network. I'm Kip Branch. This segment is brought to you by Awesome Nissan, Peachtree Pest Control, and by Bruce Kennedy Tire. Coach, let's break down Effingham County. Offensively, what do they like to do?
Well, what do they like to do and what are they doing are two different things. I mean, Effingham's a team that likes to do that. They rely on in the run game and they rely on the power and the counter. That's their bread and butter that they like to do. But they have a really good quarterback this year, and I think they're trying to play to his strengths. And by doing that, this kid can throw the football, and he's pretty talented. So they're in a spread. They're still running power, and they're still running counter, but they're doing it more out of a spread look in the game film that we're seeing than lining up in that old eye and crushing you downhill. So, you know, I'm anticipating seeing a spread look by them on the offensive side of the ball, and you know, still trying to do their power run game to mix them with their passing attack.
Effingham usually has some good running backs. How are they at the position this year?
You know, average. You know, I don't look at their running backs and see that they're any better than anybody we play. They're definitely not as good as the one at Camden. The kid at Richmond Hill, they're not as good as him either. And I think they got some kids that can hurt you.
Yeah.
But they're average high school running backs. You know, as far as that goes, I haven't seen someone at the running back position that looks like, oh my goodness, this guy's going to be a college prospect. Their quarterback, however, he has potential. You know, he's pretty good in that aspect.
They usually have some big kids along the offensive line. How are they on the offensive line?
They do. They have size on their offense and defensive line. They're pretty big up front. I don't think that's changed too much.
And Coach, they look like, watching this film right here, it looks like they struggle a little bit on special teams. I just watched some kickoff coverage, and it looks like they had some trouble covering on the kickoffs against Bradwell last week.
Yeah, they have some trouble, but you know, fortunately for them, they have a kicker that can kick it to the end zone. So okay. If he gets it to the end zone, they don't have to cover too much. But if they kick it short, we do have an opportunity as long as we do our assignments of returning one.
Coach, special teams last week, you know, we were on the receiving end of a lot of kicks, but we didn't get a chance to return any, to my knowledge, and we punted the ball a few times, you know, covered well a couple of times we kicked off. What areas you want to see us improve in on the special teams?
I think we are improving on our kickoff coverage. And saying that, I still want to see a little bit more improvement there. I want to see improvement on our fake punts. We need to get some first downs when we start doing that. We started off the season good with that, and then as of lately, we haven't been too successful in our fake punts here as of late. Also, we need to get more consistent on our field goal attempts. I mean, I know we haven't did many field goals. We've been doing extra points. But the reason I haven't been doing those field goals is because we are consistent on the extra points.
This is the Brunswick High Coaches Show with head coach Sean Pender on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Coach Effingham, defensively, what are some of their strengths?
Well, I'm going to tell you this. Watching the film on Effingham, you see three different types of defenses in the front. You see a 3-3 stack. You see him line up in a 3-4, and you see him line up in a 4-2. And I say 4-2 because that's with one back in the backfield. And if you have more than that, it looks like the old 4-4 defense.
Right.
But it's a 4-2, cover 3.
Okay.
Cover 3 is their main coverage they like to do. They have a very, very talented kid. He wears number 4. He's a receiver,
okay,
and he's a safety. And they play him about 12 to 15 yards back, typically, and that's their number one coverage, is just kind of either cover 3, a little bit of man, but every so often you'll see them line up in a 2-safety-high look, and I don't think you're going to see that too much if the running game is working. If the running game's working, they have to get that eighth man in the box, and you can't do that with 2 safeties high. It leads you at 7, and if our running game gets going and does a good job, they're going to have to bring that strong safety up, and it's going to be a cover 3 look to have that eighth man in the box.
Coach, that leads me to my next question. How do you attack a cover 3 in the passing game? What are some of the things you look for in a cover 3 defense when you have to throw the football?
Well, in a cover 3 defense, you got to look for seams. You know, they're going to give you seams. They're going to give you the edges. You got to really pay attention to the way the flat defenders play. Sometimes flat defenders will drop back, give you the underneath coverage, and they'll work on coming up there and making a play and try to tackle you for a short gain. Others will try to take that away immediately, and if they take that away immediately, the flat, then that leaves nice holes for, like, curl routes. So teams that run, like, a curl-shoot combination,
right,
or curl-flat combination, I should say, you know, it'll leave one of those guys will be open, because in a cover 3, the field's actually broken into thirds. If you see the 2 hashes down, the safety has the middle of the field, and then the other ones, the corners have the outside the hashes. But, you know, there's hybrids of threes that they're running now. Like, you'll see one of the ways Effingham will do that's a little different that you see nowadays is they'll play inside leverage. They'll still look at the quarterback, use the sideline as an extra defender, and try to rob the seam routes, because they know in cover 3 you can look a safety off. The safety will go one way, opens up the seam on the other side, and the corners will be watching the quarterback's eyes to rob the cover 3, like you just saw right here on film, Coach.
Yep. Effingham, I mean, Bradwell was in a cover 3 on this particular play.
Correct. And you see how he comes in?
Yes.
Now look at this. If this happens here, say if this guy does an out and up right here,
then that's wide open.
There you go. So that's how you attack a cover 3.
I got you.
That cover 3.
Quarterback situation. We going to see both quarterbacks play this week?
You know, probably. You know, it's a situation where I was really looking this week at both of the quarterbacks and trying to see who's better at what. And neither one of the quarterbacks are really, really separating themselves from each other. You know, Anthony Mountain's been the starter. He's going to continue to be the starter as of now. But, you know, 2 different times we pulled him. We pulled him in the New Hampshire game, and KJ came in and played phenomenal. In the Monroe game, we decided to go 4-4, and Mountain had the better game there than KJ did for, you know, certain reasons. And then in this last game, you know, Mountain played the whole first half, and one drive to the third quarter, then KJ came in, and Mountain started the game off real well, but we had some adverse things happen. We were looking to try to get that kick start like we did before, and KJ gave it to us, but then he fell into the same deal, you know, as Mountain. When you looked at both of their play really did not dictate one playing better than the other when you looked at the statistical analysis of how we moved the football and what we did. Both quarterbacks are capable. Anthony he knows how to do certain things a little bit better than KJ. KJ is a little bit better with his, you know, he has a little bit more arm strength, and he maneuvers a little bit better. But when it comes to actually understanding all the concepts and what to do, Anthony Mountain just has a leg up on him.
Coach, what are you expecting Effingham to do defensively against you? You expecting a lot of blitzes Friday night?
Not too much. I mean, they're going to blitz, but I really believe, you know, they're going to let you make mistakes. You know, I don't think they're going to try not to get beat by the big play against us. I think they're going to, if they blitz a lot, they're going to leave themselves vulnerable for the big play. And they don't want us gaining momentum that way. I believe when you break us down, I think the way they're going to attack us is to let us move the ball slowly, and eventually we implode.
Coach, any last comments before we get ready for the Effingham County Rebels to come to Glenn County Stadium? We haven't been at home, it seems like, forever. I mean, we might have to go over there and do a quick orientation.
Yeah, no kidding. It's funny just getting all the stuff ready for, like, pregame meal and the Pirate Walk and all that stuff that we're going to do. It's been so long, we had to go back and refresh. All right, how do we do this again? What time did we eat? Because it's been a month since we've been playing at home right here between the bricks, and we're glad to be back home, and we're going to be back home for the next 3 weeks. Even though we're away with the Glenn game, we're still home. We're still home. In our own stadium, so it's going to be nice to be in our own stadium for the next 3 weeks.
All right. Thank you for joining us for the Brunswick High Coaches Show with Sean Pender on the Bishop Media Sports Network. I'm Kip Branch, and as always, Coach,
go Pirates!